Just think, one day soon, guys, it's going to be in the kingdom with him, with the angels doing the same thing, and it's going to be amazing, is it not? One day soon. That is awesome. Why don't we open our Bibles to Mark chapter 13? So we continue on through the book of Mark, and we go to our second study in the signs of the season. And today, looking at the beginning of sorrow. We covered 1 through 4 last week. We're going to start in verse 5. Let's read verses 5 through 8, and then we'll go back and begin to look at this a little more closely. Notice it says there, "And Jesus answering them began to say, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he. And they'll deceive many. Because when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows.'" Last week, if you remember, we saw starting the signs of the seasons, this whole episode where Jesus and his disciples were there with the Lord, and the Lord looked at them and said, "See this temple?" They were amazed by the temple structure. We talked a little bit about the temple last week. We put pictures up here about what the temple looked like. It was unbelievable. We're not going to go into that whole description again. But the bottom line is, it was considered one of the wonders of the world. And by the way, there were some great wonders of the world in that day. It's not just our generation that knows how to build great things. Some of the things they built outdo the things we have today. So to be one of the wonders of the world in that day was no small feat. And the Lord said, "You know what? You see this wonder of the world? There's not going to be one stone left upon another that's not going to be thrown down. It's all going to be wiped out." And what a shocker that was. Can you imagine? It'd be like somebody saying, "Do you see all the greatest things in the world? Try to imagine the greatest thing that man has done you can think of." And all of a sudden somebody says, "It's all going to be destroyed. It's going to be wiped out." You'd have been shocked. And they asked the Lord, "Well, if that's going to happen, when? How's this going to take place? What's going to be the sign of your coming, the end of the age?" And that's where we get into this whole passage where the Lord began to reveal to them certain aspects of what's going to be happening in the last days. And I want you to know this. I'm excited to know what's going to happen in the last days, at least to some degree. Now, the Lord has not given us every detail. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm glad he has not given every detail. He was specific on the things that he gave. He didn't give everything, but he gave a lot. And he gave enough to let us know what's coming and to comfort our hearts. But here's why I'm glad he didn't give anything more. Although we'd like to know more, you know, sometimes it's better there's things we don't know. For example, how would you like it if God said, "All right, tomorrow, one of you in here, you know, if he told you who it was, you're going to break your arm at 2:00. Can you imagine the feeling and the anxiety that would bring in your life? Imagine trying to get sleep tonight. "Oh, great, tomorrow I got to break my arm. This is like horrible. And well, you know, how's it going to happen?" And you're like, "Ah." And then the next day comes and the whole day you're kind of sweating. You know, it gets up to 12, it gets up to 1:50, and you run to the living room, close all the doors and pull the curtains and sit there on the couch thinking, you know, "I'm supposed to be in 10 minutes, but if I'm sitting here, how can I break my arm?" 1:56, 1:57, 1:58. Who would have known that you'd be the one person that the meteor came through the roof and hit you while sitting on the couch? Who would have known that? Nobody could have known that, but God could have known it. And so the bottom line is, when God tells us what's going to happen, you can't get out of it, can you? And so I'm glad God didn't say everything's going to happen, because we'd sit around worrying. How many of us worry already and we don't know what's going to happen? But here's what the Lord did in his wisdom. He gave us just enough information to get us excited and to show us that he's in control. And I know this, he loves us and he's going to see us through whatever comes our way and going to see us through it in joy. And so it's exciting when you talk about the end times and what the Lord is doing and how he's doing it. Now, there's some important things we need to point out here about the way the Lord said this is going to take place. There at the end of verse 8, the Lord talked about this is the beginning of sorrows. And that's why I've entitled this Signs of the Season, the Beginning of Sorrows, for this simple reason. Interesting, the language there literally means birth pangs. We talked about this last week. We kind of gave the intro. The way that Jesus described the last days, he said it will be like a woman having birth pangs. And we all know what that's like. You know, if you're a husband in here and your wife has had children, you know exactly what that's like. If you're a wife in here and you've had children, you really know what that's like. And if you have any connection to it at all, the way it happens is that it happens with more and more frequency and greater intensity. And so when the Lord talks about wars and rumors of wars and all these things, it doesn't mean that we haven't always had those. I've had critics of the Bible say there's always been wars and rumors of wars. There's always been pestilence. There's always been true. But there's not always been wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and all these things in a progressive frequency and a progressive intensity until it leads to the birth, if you will, of a brand new kingdom where Jesus Christ will come back and rule and reign. And the earth is convulsing as if a woman being pregnant to give birth to this new kingdom. You know, the Bible says that even the earth groans earnestly. You know, the older I get, the more earnest I groan, especially if I try to, you know, just to exercise some. I feel that groaning. Just, I guess I don't even realize how loud I am till my kids start commenting, you know. I bend over to pick something up and they say, "Dad, are you okay?" And I'm like, "Well, what just happened? I don't just pick something up." Well, you went, "Ugh." You know, I'm like, "I did? I didn't even realize it. I guess I'm so used to that. I don't know." But the earth is now groaning. Even as we groan for the return of the Lord, and we groan because this body's wearing out and growing old, the earth is wearing out and growing old, and it's groaning for the return of the Lord. And it's groaning as a woman in birth pangs, and the convulsions are coming, and contractions are coming, and it's getting more and more intense as time goes on. And so that's the way we understand it. So we have a lot of insight when the Lord says it'll be like a woman in birth pangs, because more frequency, more intensity, but there's going to be a break between them. What we're looking for is, you know, honey, is it time? That's what we're looking for. And after some of the things we look at today, I think you're going to agree with me that, honey, it's time. I mean, I believe, you know, a lot of people have thought the Lord was coming back in their generation. I want you to know this. I'm fine if the Lord doesn't come back. I'd love him to. But I'm fine if the Lord doesn't come back. What the Bible tells us is be prepared as if he's going to come back today before this service is over. But be planning as if you're here for 100 years. So there's balance. You're always watching at your master's door. You've always got your spiritual bag packed, so to speak, mentally, although you still live here right now and you're waiting on the Lord's return. So I don't know exactly when that's going to happen, when the Lord's going to come back and all that. But when I look at the signs of the times, and I've recently in this study, even more than ever, I'm trying to look at it very objectively, not just because that's what this group teaches or that's what that person believes or what my beliefs are, but to go to the Bible and say, "Lord, here's what you said. I'm going to look at what's going on. And do I really believe we're in the last days?" And as I re-examine the end times and how the Lord said it was going to be, I really have that conviction. Now, again, no one knows the day or the hour. But when we see some of the things today, and I'm going to give you some statistics and things today to find out what's really going on, you're going to realize there has been a sudden and radical change in the world, starting really in the 1900s, but more specifically around 1990. Very radical changes in all kinds of ways. Environmentally, all kinds of things are taking place. And I believe we are seeing the beginning of the birth pangs. Now, remember, they have what they call the Braxton Hicks. Those of you that have been pregnant and the husbands, you know, the body begins to prepare. And so you have these little contractions where the body involuntarily, the woman's body, the muscles will begin to contract because they're strengthening. God designed it that way so that when the baby comes, you'll be strong enough to give birth. I believe throughout world history, we've seen Braxton Hicks. You know, the earth, once we fell, the Braxton Hicks began. There have been floods. There have been earthquakes. There have been different things. These are the Braxton Hicks. This is the earth preparing to give birth to the new kingdom of Jesus Christ and his return. But as we get closer, remember in pregnancy, it transfers from Braxton Hicks to this is the real deal. I mean, this thing is actually happening right now. And that's exactly what we're seeing, I believe, around us is this transition. And it's interesting because the definition of birth pangs is this: difficulty or turmoil associated with a development or transition. And note that difficulty, we are certainly experiencing this right now. It describes the days we're living in. Difficulty and turmoil. How many of us know about difficulty and turmoil? You know, seriously, the Bible says that stress will increase in the last days. You know, of course, I was only a kid, but I don't remember being stressed out as a kid. Do you? I don't remember being stressed out as a kid, maybe over an occasional test or that kind of thing. Now, I look at kids today, and the kids will tell you, "Man, I'm stressed out. I'm just stressed out." Like, you're a kid. What are you stressed out about? Go play baseball. Do something. You know, kick a can. You know, I'm the one that's got to pay the bills. Why are you stressed out? Lighten up, you know. There's a new stress level, I believe, among us and even among our children. The Bible said in the last days there's going to be a greater stress level. Somehow, as believers, we have to rise above that, gang. We've got to say, you know what? The world's stressing out, but the Lord said, "I will give you peace, and I'll give you a peace that passes understanding." And here's the key. He said, "Those who keep their eyes and their minds stayed on me will have perfect peace." Our problem is we don't keep our minds and our hearts stayed on the Lord. And so we lose that peace. But again, difficulty and turmoil, that's what we're experiencing. But even the word transition here, you know, when the wife's having the baby, what happens? Right before birth, the baby does a transition. They turn around so that the baby can be born head first rather than breech, which is feet first and this kind of thing, which again, sometimes still happens, but it's not a good thing. With modern technology, it's not really dangerous, but years past, you know, it wasn't that great. But the bottom line is even that transition, God has designed this whole picture of a woman giving birth to what it's going to be like in the last day. So if you want to find out what's it going to be like, observe a woman who's pregnant and giving birth. That's exactly what God gives us pictures. Husbands and wives, you're a picture of the relationship of the church to the Father. If people want to see what God and the church is like, they should be able to look at our marriages. Now, we know we have a long way to go, but it's the closest picture God can give us of that intimacy and that closeness that's coming. The birth of a child is the same thing. The birth pangs. And so they're going to become more and more. There'll be this more turmoil, all these things. And then, again, this explains what Jesus meant when he said in the last days there would be earthquakes and famines and pestilence and floods, because, again, they're going to be increasing with a greater intensity. And this, again, is one of the multiple reasons I believe that we are in the last days. Now, we could jump over into Israel and what's going on in Europe, and we'll talk about a couple of new developments since last week. That'll be interesting to you guys. But we could talk about all that, but there, you know, there's any one of them is enough to convince you, but they're all happening. They're all happening at one time. And so it makes it all the more exciting. And we shouldn't be surprised if the Lord says it's going to be like a woman in birth pangs. He gives us that information. So when we see these clusters of earthquakes or clusters of hurricanes or clusters, have you noticed how the disasters seem to come in clusters? And then there'll be a break. And then more clusters. And then there'll be a break. You're having contractions, gang. The earth is having contractions. I remember watching Tracy when she was having the babies and stuff. And then, you know, one at a time. I say, if you don't know my wife, I say the babies. We didn't have like multiple, but each baby. And I remember watching the monitor, and you could see when the contraction was coming. You'd watch this thing, and they hook it up so you know that, okay, here, this is about to get intense. Now, you know, you probably best not to tell your wife. Just kind of let that go by and just kind of let it happen on its own, right? But I remember watching the monitor. As I watched the monitor, I could tell when a contraction was about to happen. They became so frequent at some point, I could tell about how long it would be between each one. And so I'd be watching for that needle to go up, and there would go the needle. Watch that monitor. Watch that monitor. The needle would go up, it would get real intense, and then it'd begin to go right back down, and then there'd be that break again. And you know what I've done? I've gone from watching that baby monitor to the TV monitor. And I can watch the cycles of peace, and then suddenly, a contraction. You need to be able to recognize that. As the body of Christ, the Lord has told you what to expect, how to see it. Just because things get crazy doesn't mean it's about to end. It might just be we're in the middle of another contraction. What I'm saying is the contractions are going to get more and more intense. And so that's the picture the Lord gives us. That's normal. That's a normal birth. We should be expecting that in normal birth. Not like the little boy who asked his mother where he came from. You know when kids do that and the mom tries to come up with something. I know Tracy told me, I think she asked one of her grandfathers or whatever, where they came from. The only thing he would tell them was his cow chips. You came from cow chips. That's where you come from, you know? Well, this little boy was no different. Again, he asked his mother where he came from and also his grandmother. You know, he asked his mother first where he had come from as a baby. And she gave him some big story about a bird. I'm not even the stork thing. Some big white feathered bird. And that's how he got. So he goes to his grandmother. His grandmother, how did I get here? She said the same story, you know, about the bird. They must have, you know, agreed on what they were going to tell him when he started asking questions. It's a little guy. And so he finally asked his great-grandmother, you know, what? How did I get here? And same thing, you and this, you know, big white-feathered bird brought you along and all this. And it said that when he went outside to play with his playmate, he told his friend, he said, you know, there hasn't been a normal birth in our family for 3 generations. I think he knew a little bit more than they thought he knew. But the bottom line is that, you know what, guys? We should expect a normal birth comes with normal birth pangs. That's why the Lord said, don't be troubled. Don't be worried. The earth is going to give birth to a brand new era. He's going to come back and restore this earth, the Bible says. He's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, the Bible says. And we're going to rule and reign with him. And I'll tell you this, if this is the fallen earth, I can't wait to see the one restored. I look around at the fallen one and go, wow, that's amazing. The problem is you have to like look at the fallen world and run from animals that want to eat you. You won't have to worry about that in the millennial kingdom. All the animals will be tame. The lions, you know, the tigers, the bears, oh my. I mean, the alligators, everybody, everything's going to be fine. And it's going to be an amazing time when the Lord comes back. And so they want to know what's going to happen. We want to know what's going to happen. And that sets the stage for the Lord now to sit down with them and get into it. Let's jump into verse 5. Notice, and Jesus answering began to say to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Take heed that no one deceives you. Guys, I want to stop there a moment. Because who is Jesus talking to? His church. He's not talking to the crowds that don't know him. He didn't gather a crowd of unbelievers and say, beware that no one deceives you. He didn't do that. He got his closest followers. He pulled them in and said, guys, you want to know about the end times? Yeah. Take heed. That means take great caution and precaution that no one deceives you. How would they deceive us? We're the church. Here's how. By the church getting out of the word, getting out of prayer, getting out of the spirit, and not being in tune with the spirit of God. Not being in tune with it, not knowing what's going on. Guys, the bottom line is we need to be in tune with the Spirit of God and hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And if we don't, then we ourselves can be deceived. I grieve when I see oftentimes how little of the Bible churches are getting into today. And again, I'm not going to go on. I love the Lord's bride. But I really believe we need a resurgence of the teaching of the Word of God, line by line, verse by verse, not just through parts of the Bible, but all of it. Because that is the only thing that is going to keep us from being deceived. We're going to be deceived otherwise. And the Lord wouldn't have warned His church of deception if it wasn't possible. So the first thing to note here in the last days is there's going to be a lot of deception. And number two, the church is going to be giving into a lot of that deception. And I think we see it going on right now. How much of the church is buying into this whole emergent church doctrine? All these doctrines that are floating around out there today. The health and wealth doctrine, all these different things, you can't find them in the Bible. And you think, how could the church be deceived into this? Where did the church go wrong? The bottom line is the church has gotten away in many places, away from the Word of God. The scripture says, my people, not the world, note this, my people perish due to what? Lack of knowledge. We have to be students of the Word of God. And if you've not been a student of the Word of God, now more than ever is a time to be a student of the Word of God as we come into the last days. Because we're not going to be able just to ride along and just kind of go to church and listen to what's happening. We're going to have to be aware of what's being taught from the pulpits. We're going to have to be aware of what's being taught on the TV. We're going to have to understand the Word of God enough to say, wait a minute, that's right, that's wrong. Here's what the Bible says, and here's, you know, where we're going to stand. He says, be careful of that. So that's the first warning. And then notice he goes right into verse 6, for many will come in my name, saying that I am he and will deceive many. Now, the word he there is added by the editors. It really, in the original language, it just says, many will come in my name saying I am. And they'll deceive many. The Bible says that in the last days, you're going to see more and more people declaring themselves to be God. Now, remember this. There's always been those who have said they were God. Satan lied in the garden to Eve, told her she could be like God. And people have tried to be like God throughout history, but not claiming they're the Messiah. Not claiming that they're Jesus. That didn't happen until just recent generations where people start saying, I'm the Messiah. And I believe that because there's such a consistency among many of the psychological patients that say they're Jesus, there's a spirit working together in that gang. And it's the spirit of Antichrist that's leading the whole world to one day believe that there is going to be a guy who's going to claim that he is God, and the world's going to believe it. I remember years ago looking at prophecy and thinking, who would ever believe that somebody could claim they're God and somebody would believe them? Because the Bible says the Antichrist is going to stand up in Jerusalem in the very last days, once he takes over the world, and declare himself to be God. And I used to think, well, he may do that, and he may have the power to do that, and I believe God's word that he's going to do that. Who's going to believe the guy's God? Come on. Guys, there are groups of people today who believe that we can be gods. Did you know that? Of course you knew that. You've heard of the New Age movement. They teach that everybody's a god. It really comes from this whole nature worship. They worship trees and rocks, and even this recent, listen, I believe that we should take care of the earth. This is our aquarium. And I do believe we need to take care of it. I want a clean aquarium. But there's a shift that's gone away from being responsible with the earth, I believe, to worship of it. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that when men start turning away from God, the creation becomes more important than God. The way the scripture puts it is, the creature will be served and worshiped more than the creator. Now, even this whole thing with the advent of Earth Day. You know, we don't think much about the new Earth Day. Do we have a worldwide God Day? We've put the earth over God in honoring worldwide, have we not? This is exactly what the Bible says will happen when people turn away from God. The earth becomes more important. And again, I'm not getting into environmental issues. I'm simply saying the bottom line is there's going to be deceivers that are going to be turning our eyes away from the true God. And then when they get among other things, there's going to be people showing up on the scene saying they're God. The New Age movement. Again, you're God, I'm God, we're all God, universal God. You know, God's in everything. You ever talk to people like that? Shirley MacLaine, years back, remember her little thing that she did, standing on the beach. It's interesting. It says, literally, they will say, I am. That's what she was saying. She was saying, I am God. I am God. People are doing that today, and it's amazing because what I find interesting about it is when I first started hearing it, it was almost laughable. And you would think, man, you really believe you're God? I mean, can you imagine being God and not knowing it? That could be serious, especially if you got mad. You know, you're looking for that parking place here at Christmas and you didn't realize you're God. You're like, I can't believe it. And the car flies off. And oh, what'd I do? I didn't mean to hurt you. As it hits, you know, it's like, call an ambulance. You know, I didn't know I was God. Guys, let me say something. If you're God, you would know it by now, okay? You wouldn't have to take a class. You wouldn't have to read a book. You wouldn't have to hum. You would know that you were God. It would be natural. We laugh about that because our eyes have been open, haven't they? But Satan's telling that lie to the world out there, just like he did Eve in the garden. You can be like God. And they're going, really? Wow, I can. Well, I notice I have been, you know, getting a lot better lately. And I think that just I'm getting more enlightened. That's what it is. And you need to be more enlightened. And then we're all more enlightened. Guys, it's an end times deception. But it's much more than just deceiving people to send their souls to hell. Listen, I believe it's a mindset. Remember, we need to come up above the earth and look at what Satan is doing and what God is doing in this whole end times process and what God has warned us. I believe that Satan right now is preparing the world for this world leader who's going to declare that he's God, and we're going to be so used to hearing about people being like God that it's not going to be that big a deal. If there's somebody stood up today that was a world leader and said, I'm God, some of the people on the earth today would say, okay, I can believe that because I already do believe it. Imagine how many more as time goes on. So he says, one of the things you're going to see in the last days of these people thinking they're God, again, the New Age movement, Hinduism, the David Koreshes are around us. These guys who claim to be the Messiah and claim to be God. It's simply leading, I believe, to the Antichrist in these final days. And it's just amazing. The Lord says it's going to happen. We're watching it happen. And again, remember, this is new. This wasn't going on even just 2 centuries, 100 years ago. This is very rarely happening. Now it's happening with great frequency, with people declaring to be the Christ and declaring themselves to be the Messiah. And so he warns about that. Notice verse 7, he says, but when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. Now I love this because, again, the Lord here begins to give the additional signs that we're at the very end. And he says this right here, do not be troubled. Literally in the language, it means stop being troubled. Don't be troubled anymore. Stop it. Which means they were what? Troubled. They were worried. Some of you this morning might be troubled right now. You're hearing about what's coming on the earth. You're like, oh no, I hope this guy's wrong. Or if not, if you know the Lord, you're going, yes, we're ready. Bring it on. We'll go to be with him. There's typically two emotions that spring up. I guess I would say three when you talk about the last days. The people that are excited. Number two, the people that know God but want to wait till they get married or have kids. They've got some goal they want to achieve before the Lord comes back. And then the third group that says, you know, I either think you're crazy or this really bothers me. If you're one of those that this is really bothering and you're really troubled in spirit, listen, let this drive you to the Lord. I'm glad you're troubled this morning. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. Glad you're having a hard time. Because you know what? If you weren't having a hard time, there'd be no conviction and you couldn't be driven to the Lord. And so let God's spirit work and make you troubled, because then you'll come to Christ. And once you come to Christ, you're not going to be troubled anymore. God gives peace. The Bible says a peace that passes understanding. And so I love this because you stop being troubled. I think the Lord would say to each of us in this room today, don't be troubled. And if you're troubled right now, stop being troubled. Why? Because I'm on the throne, the Lord would say. I'm in control of all things. I'm ruling all things. And I control all things. Now, if you were controlling what happened to your child, you're in complete control of it, but you knew they had to go through troubles, how do you think you would deal with your child through those troubles? With great grace, with great mercy, with great ability to handle whatever situation came along. The Lord's not going to do any less with us. We're not on our own. We have hope. We have power. We have Jesus Christ. We know what's going to happen. We can tell people. There may be people right now, you know, listening to this by radio that never heard this and go, you mean you're telling what's happening? Yes, we can tell you what's going to happen. Maybe not all the details, but we can tell you what's going to happen. And so we have a great advantage that God has given us when it comes to the end times. And we need to rest and not be troubled and not worry, because the Lord is going to make sure that we are taken care of and that he's controlling all things. He says, you know, these are the things that you need to be looking for. Wars and rumors of wars. We've got them going right now more than ever. Now, it's interesting. We talked about the Club of Rome some last week. The Club of Rome also does worldwide statistics. And this is why I said you need to start seeing the difference of how it used to be and the way it is today to find out, is anything really changing? Guys, up until World War II, there were periods of time in world history where there was peace. The world wasn't always battling. It wasn't always in war. Everybody always wasn't fighting each other. There were wars. There were rumors of wars. The Braxton Hicks, if you will, those occasional things, not yet the contractions. But it wasn't continual. According to the Club of Rome, since World War II, there has not been one day in Earth history that there has not been a war somewhere in the world, starting at World War II. A sudden change. Why the sudden change? Well, just because, again, I believe we're heading toward those last days. So we need to know that. We need to be aware of that. We kind of miss some of this in America, but, you know, think about it. We're currently in two wars. We don't even know about it, do we? We know about it, but it doesn't affect us yet because it's not on our soil. But the wars are increasing and the rumors of wars. Maybe you've heard of the rumors going on now, but, you know, about North Korea and what's going to happen with that. What about Iran and the rumor of Israel and Iran and all these rumors swirling around? It's exactly what the Lord said was going to happen. So we see this increase now. Not that they haven't always happened, but this increase in the wars and rumors of wars statistically in world history, even in our generation. Notice, secondly, he said there will be an increase in earthquakes. He said, you'll see the wars and rumors of wars there. Verse 8, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places and famines and troubles. And these are the beginning of birth pangs. Now, again, notice he says there'll be earthquakes. It's interesting. There's always been earthquakes. But I thought how interesting this would be. I remember looking back and getting statistics on earthquakes 6.0 and greater. They call those a great earthquake. And there has been an unbelievable spike in great earthquakes just in the last 100 years, an amazing spike. But what I wondered was, and which again shows the change in the earth and what's happening, the convulsions happening as we get closer to the end. But what I wanted to find out was, what about the majorly catastrophic earthquakes, 8.0 or greater? Guys, when you have an 8.0 earthquake, it levels cities. It's the kind of earthquake that kills hundreds and even sometimes tens of thousands with major, they're that bad. I thought, how many of those have we had throughout history? Note this. Jumped online with the U.S. Geological Survey Thursday night. Up until the 1900s, really all the way up until 1990, you ready for this? There has been one major 8.0 earthquake every 10 years in the world. Every 10 years in the world, one. Okay? Starting in 1990, since then, we've now had 20. In the last 20 years, we actually have had 19, but I rounded it up. We've had 19. Somebody will check me on that call. Pastor Mark, I looked it up. It's 19. So I'm going to tell you right now, it's 19. And good for you guys. That's fine. But the bottom line is close to 20, 19. Guys, that means we've had basically, 10 in a, every year we're having one. Think about that. Now, that may not sound like much. I'm breaking this down to one major catastrophic. Add all the other earthquakes, and it's enormous how many are happening worldwide. But my point is simply this. This means that since 1990, we have increased in major 8.0 earthquakes on this planet that has never been in recorded history of our planet 10 times. Honey, it's time. Have the spiritual luggage packed. Again, be responsible. We stay here. We occupy till he comes. But when we see these kind of major spikes, what's going on? Why the sudden radical change? Because the Lord said in the last days, it's going to be what? Like a woman in birth pains. We're going to see this increase and this just sudden spike, if you will, in what are happening in these things. And so earthquakes is one. What's another one? Famines. It's interesting. I found this very interesting. A couple of statistics for you. Scientists tell us that deserts are increasing at a rate of 14.8 million square miles a year on the earth. Wow. Because eventually that's going to use up a lot of farmland. And when farmland gets used up, what happens to the crops? They begin to disappear. In America, which used to be very fertile, and still to some degree, America, there used to be 10 feet, according to scientists, 10 feet of good topsoil all across America. Guess how much there is now? 3 inches. Now, I don't know the reason for that change. I can't tell you that. All I'm just telling you the scientific facts. I don't know the reason for that, but what I know is this. That means more and more there's less and less ability to produce good crops and large amounts of crops. As a matter of fact, according to some estimates, because we have so much confidence that there'll always be food, the American food supply is such that all it would take is a major famine or a couple of smaller ones in America back to back, and our food supplies would be depleted. We would end up being like some of these countries that are needing food and trying to get it. And then we go to our soil, and the soil's no good, and then the seed and all these things. I mean, hey, look what happens to the bread at Kroger's when a snowflake falls around this place. Can't find milk for a month. Why? Because I saw a snowflake. Did you really hurt? Everybody's racing up there, If we're reacting that way, how do you think the whole U.S. is going to react if suddenly we find out the supplies aren't there? Why are the prices going out the roof? How come there's not the supplies there used to be? I don't know what's going to happen here. I'm saying that the Bible says there'll be famines. And so we need to be aware of this and be prepared for it. It's something the Lord said to expect. It's estimated that 20 million people a year die of starvation. That's amazing to me. It didn't used to be this bad. It's getting worse, and we're seeing it exponentially. Now, again, I went online Thursday to look up the famines because I wanted to find out if there was a trend. Like we saw the earthquakes really going up and up and up, 10 times greater since 1990. I didn't do this at 1990, but I started back in 1400s and looked at what the famines were worldwide, starting in the 1400s and moving up. In the 1400s, there were 6 worldwide famines because what you're going to look for is an increase. In the 1500s, there were 10. In the 1600s, there were 24. In the 1700s, there were 27. In 1800, there was 30. And in 1900, over 47 worldwide famines. Look at the dramatic increase from 6 to 47. Now, get this. From the year 2000 until now, the last 10 years, there's already been 12. That may not sound like much, but if you keep the math going, that comes out to 120 famines over the next 100 years. Compared to 6 back in 1400. Do you see a difference, gang? Do you see convulsions? Do you see the earth responding to heading toward that final culmination of the birth of the new age? And I hate to even use that term, the birth of the new era, because they've so perverted that term. But the bottom line is, these are amazing statistics. Nobody can deny this. It's there in black and white. Jesus said it was going to happen. We're watching it come to pass. What's another one? We've got to move quickly. Fourthly, there will be more troubles, he says. Then other gospel tells us it's referring to pestilences. This includes new diseases and illnesses. Have you noticed an increase in disease and illness in our generation? Now, I don't know if you've noticed that much, but guys, there's been over 12 brand new viruses that in our generation that have suddenly come into existence. Over 12. Brand new ones. Listen, it's bad enough, the old ones. There's a resurgence now of TB. But we've got things like AIDS, SARS, bird flu. H1N1 is just a revival of the same swine flu from years back. But again, we're seeing an increase in these things. I even think that some of these allergies we're seeing in kids has something to do with the last time's ramping up. When I was a kid in class, let me ask you this. Did any of you guys have anybody, if you're in your 40s, let's go at least there and down, or greater. Did any of you have anybody in your class that had a peanut allergy? I never saw one. Peanut allergy? What's that? I mean, I never saw my whole high school and didn't know anybody peanut allergy. I've got two in my family. And we hear it all the time. You go to classrooms and all these peanut and different allergies. What's going on? Something's changing in our immune system. Something's changing in the world. Something's ramping up. Here's another one. I've been a pastor now for a long time. And I've been going to see people in hospitals for years and years and years. And it's not been until about the last year or two, I started seeing people that were getting staff. I never saw anybody with staff, ever. I heard it happened. I heard about it. Sometimes in hospitals you get staff. I almost expect now when people go to the hospital, I don't expect it, but I'm like, I pray, honestly, your pastor, I don't let you know it, but I pray behind the scenes, Lord, don't let them get staff. Because I'm seeing so much staff infection on a regular, normal basis in the hospitals and out. What's changed? Why this sudden new increase? What's going on? Something is changing. We're watching it. The Lord told us, be ready for this. You're going to see these kind of changes, and it affects us as believers as well. So we're seeing this changeover. Things are taking place. And again, notice the Lord said, these are only the beginning of sorrows. You know, I have a couple things interesting I wanted to pull out of Luke. Also, he adds to this, as we get to the end of this passage, in Luke it talks about fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Guys, here's something else to be watching for. We're going to start seeing something go on in the heavenlies. I don't know what. But we're going to see something in the heavenlies that's going to get people, they're going to be great signs. And it says some of them are going to be fearful signs. Don't know exactly what it's going to be. But I do find it interesting that the Bible talks about some of those signs in the last days. In Revelation, it says there'll be this great mountain that flies into the earth's atmosphere and strikes the oceans and pollutes 2/3 of the oceans. I believe that's probably an asteroid. I don't know that a meteorite would be that large. It also says that another one will come in, one described as a great mountain burning with fire. Another one describes itself as a star falling from heaven. I believe, again, another asteroid. It says it's going to hit the streams of the earth, and it's going to pollute the waters of the earth in the streams. So the oceans and the water. I don't remember until just recent years hearing our leaders in our nation worried about that we might be hit by an asteroid. Have you heard that on the news? Suddenly that's coming up on the news. We're concerned about an asteroid, so much so that we're now working together with scientists as to how we might shoot nuclear weapons up into the atmosphere to intercept an asteroid that we see coming and try to blow it up nuclear up in the heavens to get rid of it before it gets here. Make it smaller. The smaller pieces come in and the atmosphere can burn them up. Now, whether or not that would work, I don't know. But I find that interesting. A lot of what the Bible says is going to happen in Revelation. There's going to be a great mountain coming in. There's going to be a star flying from heaven. And maybe you don't realize, a week ago Friday, we almost got hit by an asteroid here on the earth that nobody knew about until 15 hours before it hit us. I have an article for you right here out of the UK, dailymail.co.uk, it's in England, and it says, asteroid passes just 8,700 miles from the Earth with only 15 hours warning. We didn't even detect it. We couldn't see it coming. How much time do you think 15 hours gives you to prepare everybody? Let me read some of this. Although no one noticed it at the time, the Earth was almost hit by an asteroid last Friday. The previously undiscovered asteroid came within 8,700 miles of the Earth, but astronomers noticed it only 15 hours before it made its close approach. Its orbit brought it 30 times closer to the Earth than the moon. It traveled between us and the moon, guys. An asteroid. Little redirection. They hit the Earth with the force of a nuclear device. The Bible says this will happen in the last days. Now, I don't believe it's going to happen until after the rapture. That's the good news. Because Revelation talks about a couple of them coming in, and I think it's very possible that a couple of them will come in. But I believe the church is going to be taken out of here before that happens. This is why the Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. You know, don't worry. I'm in control. God controls the asteroids, doesn't he? As that asteroid comes through the earth, all the Lord has to do is go, ooh, you go, we're going to go that way. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Maybe some of you guys down here don't want a God watching over you. I want one and I need one. Thank you, Lord. He guards over this aquarium pretty well, doesn't he? He's a good God. Again, but let not your heart be troubled. Now I'm going to wrap it up with a couple things, but I got to share something with you that happened this week. I told you I'd bring articles in, one or two. I need to share something with you that's very exciting to me, because up until this last week, there was not an office created in Europe that the Antichrist could fill. I've warned for years and years, or told you for years and years, and other pastors have, that one day there's going to be a president of Europe, and the president of Europe, that position will be filled by the man we call the Antichrist, and from that position, the revived Roman Empire, he will rule the world as not only the president of Europe, but the president of the world. But there was no office president of the European Union or president of what I'm calling the revived Roman Empire. Well, guess what happened last week? We now have one. This off of CNN, the Belgian prime minister is now the president of Europe. Let me read just a little bit of this. European Union leaders named Belgian prime minister Herman Van Rompuy, and I may be saying that wrong, as the first, and might I add not the last, but as the first president of Europe, in quotes, Thursday, edging out former prime minister Tony Blair for a still vaguely defined job. They know they need somebody to head it up, and they're not quite sure yet what they need them to do. Again, I believe this is the position that the Antichrist will be filling when he comes into power. But notice this. This guy kind of waffles back and forth. He said, I did not seek this high position, and I didn't take any steps to achieve it. Like, I didn't have anything to do with this, he said. But tonight, since this has been given to me, I take this task with conviction and with great enthusiasm. So again, we see here the first Belgian waffle. And so you need to be aware of that. I'm sorry. Actually, not the first one. This is just one in a long line, right? But guys, listen, I make light of that because that's my personality, to be silly from time to time. But the bottom line is, we're living in serious days, aren't we? These are excitingly serious days, and don't be afraid. Be encouraged. Don't be afraid. Your father's on the throne. He controls the asteroids. He controls the oceans. He controls the earthquakes. He controls everything. He knows where you're going to be and how he can protect you and what he's going to do. And at some point, the Bible says that before all this really gets really crazy, the trumpet blast is going to sound, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and God's going to yank us out of here. The question is, when God blows that trumpet and yanks us out of here, are you going to go? Are you here this morning? You don't know the Lord. You're one of those that's very troubled right now. The Lord said, don't be troubled. But if you don't know the Lord, I'm going to say, be troubled. Let that trouble, though, drive you to Christ. Here's what the Bible says. God, all this is coming on the earth, but God has given us a way of escape. As soon as Jesus said this in Revelation 3:10, to those who know him and love him, he said, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the entire world to test those who live on the earth. What he said is there's going to be a trial coming to the entire world. Jesus said this, coming to the whole world, is going to test the whole world. But because you have loved me, I'm going to remove you from that trial. I'm going to take you out of it. You're not going to be a part of it. Isn't that great news? 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God has not appointed you, believer, to wrath. Yes, we may suffer persecution. We may suffer the attack of the enemy, but it's going to be the wrath of God that's poured out in the last days. You're not appointed to God's wrath. And so God's going to take you out of there, and that's exciting. The question is, are you going to go when the trumpet blast sounds? Unless you receive Christ as Savior, you're going to be here. You've seen, maybe heard of the series Left Behind. You're going to be one of those left behind. Don't let it happen. You can leave here today. Don't leave here without Jesus. Don't do it. How do we do that? It's very simple. You know the gospel. Every American knows the gospel. Jesus died, spilled his blood. Here's why. So that our sins could be forgiven. So if we receive him as Lord and Savior, we say, Lord, forgive me. I know that I'm a sinner. I recognize that. The Bible says all have sinned. All. And fallen short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So what do? We believe that. We say, okay, all of sin, I'm a sinner. I believe you died for my sin. Lord, forgive me of my sin. I receive your sacrifice in my place. And the Bible says you'll be born again. And once you're born again, you're not only going to be saved down here and be walking with the Lord, you're going to miss a lot of this end times action. And instead of being a part of it, you're going to be watching it from heaven. Guys, I'll tell you what, I would much rather be in the stands than on the playing field when this comes down. And there's a lot of people say, well, it's escapism. You're just trying to get out of here. Yeah. Whatever you want to call it. He promised he would do it. I'm taking him at his promise. How about you? If you hadn't received Christ, receive him this morning. Because guys, listen, honey, it's time. The signs of the season are all around us. Let's make sure we're ready. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, God, that you have told us what's going to happen. We don't know every detail, but we certainly know a lot of details. And God, we're excited about the fact that you have told us what's going to be happening in the very last days. And although we've always seen wars and rumors of wars, and although we've always seen earthquakes, and although we've always seen diseases and famines and pestilence. Lord, you said that at the very end they would increase exponentially. We now have the scientific evidence to see that. We see a sudden and recent spike in just the recent years of all these things, earthquakes, wars, famines, all these things, floods. All you said that would happen, Lord, there's an exponential statistical increase that is not by chance. For this earth is convulsing, and it is groaning earnestly to give birth to the new kingdom when you come back, Lord, and rule and reign. And Lord, how we as believers are excited about that. We're ready. Lord, we want you to come back. But God, I pray right now for those in this room that don't know you. And with this many people here, there's bound to be some that don't know you. And I pray that right now, if they are troubled, if they don't have your peace to know that you will give grace and be in control through these times, I pray they would, that trouble would drive them to the cross. Lord, they know the gospel. They've heard it. But I pray right now they would confess their sin and ask you to forgive them. And Lord, that they would ask you to come into their heart and into their life and be their Lord and be their Savior. So that not only can they be with us right now rejoicing in the fact that we know our God and we're going to be out of here, but Lord, also rejoicing in the fact that they're going to be with you forever in eternity. Lord, do your work, Lord. By your Spirit, move and do it today. And we thank you, God, and we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.